Where do your children learn about marriage? Do they learn about it from television or where? We're going to talk about letting your children see your marriage.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host. We've been going down this list of 30 imperatives to parenting. Today, we are tackling number 26 as we're getting close to the end of the list. We'll be covering how to let your child see your marriage. And I remember a lot when I worked with youth, there was this one teenager that came to Christ and I was getting to know him. He was about 14 years old. And we were talking about girls and the girls that he liked and all that. And the topic of marriage came up. And he said, yeah, well, I don't think I'm ever going to get married. Why? And it took me a little while to connect the dots and to realize that he has only seen bad and destructive marriages in his life. And unfortunately, now, even as adult, this is an area that he is still struggling a lot with. So.
Where else are our children ever going to see marriage? They're not
really
going to see it.
Yeah.
They're going to see, you know, on television, the degradation of the male role model. And in most television families, the woman is the smarter of the two. Look at you look like that's truth.
What do you talk about then? You listen to radio and you can hear the same. No.
But where do they see it? They just see dysfunction. And if statistics are true and 48% of America's children will spend part of their life in a single-parent household, then where do they see it? For those of us that are married, we need to let our children see our marriage. For those who are single parents, I think you need to find couples that you can actually let your children be with and mm-hmm. With you. And that's very fun. That's very fun in our house anyway. Mm-hmm. But let me say that our children need to learn the sacrifice of marriage. Years and years and years ago, Roby was about 12, which means Story was 15. And there was a Coleridge Presbyterian Church here in town did the Messiah every other year. And every other year, Rosemary made us go to the Messiah.
Mommy's choice.
Yes. And we went. That was part of her Christmas thing, to go to the Messiah. And we would go to the we sat at the Messiah one year. Roby was sitting next to me and he looked over at me and whispers, "Dad, do you like this?" And I said, "Absolutely not." And it was hilarious. And then he was just in shock. And he said, "Then why are we here?" "Because Mom likes this. That's why we're here." And the look on his face was, "So you do things because Mom likes them, whether you like them or not." Our children need to be picking up our marriage rather than just see our marriage as these two people that sit in front of a television, and they need to catch the nuggets from the marriage. You know, Rosemary, when we're getting ready to go do a marriage seminar, and she would pack the night before and we would take the children to school. Rosemary's parents would arrive at the house and take care of the children while we'd be gone for the weekend. And she would always pack nightgowns when Tori was in there and show her these killer, awesome, beautiful nightgowns and just kind of start painting a picture. Yeah, Dad and I are staying in a hotel together. "Oh, Mom, too much information. Oh, Mom."
And she, how old was she?
Yeah, she was probably 11 or 12, okay. And it would just be awesome. And slowly, and they'd know, you know, once a quarter, we would go find a hotel to just go away for the weekend, mm-hmm. just us, while Grandma and Grandpa took care of them. Helping our children begin to see our marriage and the many aspects of the marriage that most children aren't prepared for, and they get married, and there's a lot of kids that believe, you know, if you love somebody, you never disagree, and that's what marriage is all about, or just the opposite. Why would you get married? Wow, it's a nightmare.
Right.
Listen to these to scream at each other. And so I think our children need to hear the decision-making process and let them see our marriage and let them know it is a process of becoming one flesh. It's not a sexual process. They became one flesh. Marriage is a process of two very different people becoming and an amazing amount of awesome sacrifice.
What if you're in a marriage and your marriage is struggling and
yes.
you know you're in it for the long run? Okay, but this is not what I thought it would be. I don't even want my kids really to have a marriage like mine. But I'm here. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to choose to be happy, but I really don't want them to mirror what I've got.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that there is a season where that's every marriage. Sorry, I wish there was a Disney or whatever you want to call the mountaintop all the time marriage. And I think especially for the American female, I think the American female has such unrealistic expectations about marriage. And I think the American male has such little expectations about marriage. To him, it's somebody to help and sex. Mm-hmm. I think the American female is this relationship where he just will want to talk to me all the time. And that's why God said it's not good for man to live alone. He really needs to sit and talk to me all the time. And you've watched these movies. And I think it needs to get there. And I think it can get there. But I just think every marriage is there. And I know that our marriage was there. I know in a funny way. I knew, but I know in a funny way. When we were speaking to a bunch of college students, mostly engaged students, about marriage during the Q&A, they asked Rosemary, "What was the first year of your marriage like?" And they expected her to say, because of my humor, they expected her to say, "Miserable." And she said, "Well, I would say the first first 8 years of marriage were the worst years of my life. And they asked her, what did you do? And she said, I did my part. Mm-hmm. I did my part. I prayed for Bob. And her prayer was, you know, Lord Jesus, help me to be anything I need to be to help him be the man you want him to be. Mm. Her marriage should have been, Lord Jesus, vaporize him. He's a jerk. But she didn't. And just the way you said it, Ruthie, I'm here. I'm married. I thought it was going to be different. I actually thought I was going to marry the person I dated. And all of a sudden, he had a brain transplant. He's not the person I dated anymore. Right. And, you know, I thought she was going to be the person I dated also. She looked perfect all the time. And I will never forget one night rolling over. That was during the era where women wore curlers to bed, which I had never seen. And Rosemary would go to sleep. This is an awesome story. We would go to bed, and I fall asleep instantly. She'd get up and put curlers in her head. And then one night I rolled over and looked at her head. And I looked like, it felt like I was
Medusa
looking.
Medusa or something?
Well, I thought I was looking at the inside of a television set with picture tubes. I mean, wow. And I burst out laughing, and she was all embarrassed. And we don't marry the people we date. We marry better because we marry a real person.
Yeah.
But I think what we have to do is we have to do our part. And she did our part and taught me how to do my part and prayed me into doing my part. And it did take 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then we have children, and our children see us disagree. And you have to decide how you're going to handle disagree.
Right.
I know a lot of people have heard the adage, you should never disagree in front of the children. The fact that we had children in front of us helped us disagree agreeably and better. And I knew there would be tense moments when she would say, but couldn't we do this tonight? And I don't want to do that tonight. I don't want to play a game with the children tonight. Because the children are watching, or worse stuff, it helped us disagree agreeably, where I realized, okay, the children are watching, she's watching, and more than that, God is watching. We need to disagree agreeably, and he's calling me to love my wife as much as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, because I'm raising a little boy who needs to see what it means to man up, and I'm raising a little girl who needs to understand what kind of man she wants to marry so she understands who she's dating. Mm-hmm. And so the level of sacrifice that we make, especially when our children are watching, and the way we talk to each other and the way we respect each other, and teaching my children to respect their mom and vice versa, and the sacrifices she would make personally, and hearing the garage door open and getting these two little children all jacked up, the dad's home and running to the door. I thought for years they actually did that on their own. I didn't realize she was getting them jacked up. I felt like, wow, the king has walked in. Well, she got them all jacked up.
The queen did the work.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. But our children have no other marriage to see but ours, and sometimes they see a marriage that's so boring, and they see a marriage that's so child-centered rather than marriage-centered, and they see a marriage where the parents don't even want to be together. And they see a marriage where dad's having an extramarital affair with his job and mom's having an extramarital affair with the children because they're the priority, and they don't learn, and they're totally underprepared for what it means to be married, and they go through a nightmare. See, I grew up in a home where a great mom, but she died. And so it was just dad, and he was kind of the center of the universe. And so me too. And it was all boys. And so it was every man for himself. And I got married because she's gorgeous and brilliant and fun. And I just thought she would see how awesome I am and want to do whatever I
want.
And brilliant. And, well, actually, nobody's ever accused me of the brilliant part. but I just couldn't understand the level of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to learn it.
Did you ever have those moments where you're just teaching your son also, hey, this is, let me show you something. This is about a husband role. You know, the little things about husbands. I mean, I've had a few moments like that, not too much. I haven't been married that long. But a moment with my stepdaughter the other day, she came back to me and she's like, I'm talking. And then all of a sudden, dad, I can see that his eyes are just going other ways and he's not listening anymore. And he just gets exhausted of hearing after a half hour of listening to And I had to pull her aside. I said, I'm the same way. We talk a lot more than boys. So sometimes if you see his eyes start to wander, you need to sum it up and end.
Oh, because brilliant.
Your husband's going to be the same way, I guarantee.
Brilliant.
Because I had the same problem with my mom. She said I talked nonstop, and I'm thinking, wow, this little child has my same issue. And there have been moments where my husband says, Ruth, I just don't have enough compartments to hold the information you're about to share. And I can't take it offensively. That's what I told her. You can't be offended by this, because or else, you know what, honey? You're going to be offended for the rest of your life. You're a woman. This is how you are. You have to change it when it comes to marriage, because you got to keep peace with your husband.
It's not you. It's it's your dad. Yeah. Honey, don't be offended. Don't have your feelings hurt. Yes, it's, you know, I'm a big believer in, and I learned this the hard way, in getting rosemary flowers once a week. And Roby, I would try to wait till Roby was with me. I'd pick him up from school and we would go by World Market, World something or other, by our house, and we would go in and get roses. And I just did it in front of him, did it in front of him, and did it in front of him. And finally, he makes a statement, why are you doing this? In his own way. And I said, because mom likes them, but they die. But mom likes them. And I learned that in an interesting way from my dad. My dad, every Christmas, would take his boys into Manhattan to do two things, to eat at the coolest restaurant in Manhattan. We lived just outside of Manhattan. And it was a place that a choo-choo train, a Lionel train pulled up. It was called Choo-choo Burger. And it delivered your burger on a plate on a little train.
Awesome.
It went all through the restaurant. And then from there, we would go to Macy's. And he would do one thing. He'd get my mom a killer nightgown. It was brutal for my brother and I. And if he wanted to brutalize us even more, he'd hold it up next to himself and say, what do you think, boys? Dad, there's people here. He did that year after year after year after year. It became fun. We just wondered why he didn't. He worked in Manhattan. Why don't you get this while you're here and just take us to the train station restaurant? And so we did that, and it was very, very fun. Well, there was a time where we were married 6 or 7 years, and Rosemary finished Christmas. And I'm a German. I buy practical things. You know, kitchen tools, et cetera. And Rosemary, I can see that little face. It's very beautiful and expressive. And I said, I missed something, didn't I? She says, no, this was a wonderful Christmas. And I said, well, your mouth's telling me that, but your face isn't telling me that. Right. She said, well, I guess if you could just get me something that showed me I was still sexy to you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that was it.
Dad
was
right.
That was the nightgown. That's why he was taking us to get the night. He was teaching us, because if he'd have said, boys, I'm just going to tell you something you need to do. When you're married, go get your wife a nightgown. And I would say, yeah, dude, I'll do that. I can see that happen. And I can see my younger brother saying, yeah, but I'm never getting married. I don't even like girls. And so he did it year after year, and I got it. And it occurred to me to do that with Roby, mm-hmm. and to take Roby with me to do that. We're showing them marriage. We're showing them an intimacy there and just getting a nightgown, and they'll figure it out. We're showing them how we talk. We're showing them that, no, we need nights out without you. And if you're a parent listening here today and you only have one child, that child firmly believes you should take them everywhere you go, and that they are the glue that holds the marriage together, mm-hmm. and you can't let that happen. You absolutely can't let that happen. So you have got to choose to let them see your marriage. You've got to let them see affection. Mm-hmm. You've got to let them see some touch. You've got to let them see that you adore each other. And they've got to hear the priority of this marriage. And that's a hard one right there. Mm-hmm. Mom, do you love me more than Dad? No, honey, let me tell you something. First of all, you're thinking of love. Well, you've got these 10 Legos right here. And you think, if I give Dad 6 Legos, I don't have enough left for you to go around. Love is not that. Love is not something you have and give away. Love is something you constantly do mm-hmm. for the other person. But let me say this. I adore you, but Dad is my priority in life. That says it in the Bible. I adore you, but you're going to leave and adore somebody else one day. Mm-hmm. And I remember Roby saying, but no, Mom, I want to marry you. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to, yeah,
she's already married.
It would be cute if he wasn't 20 years old when he said it. No, I'm kidding. He's going to kill me when he hears that. He was about 3 or 4. But there are those moments when you have the opportunity to teach them very important biblical lessons. A man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Mm-hmm. We have to help our children see marriage, learn marriage, start to understand marriage by seeing our marriage. It's unbelievably important. The world degrades marriage. The world is making statements that marriage is not necessary. We have to be different.
And what if you are going through a hard time in your marriage?
You have to teach your children that you may not like your spouse, but you love your spouse. If you're going through a hard time, you know what, Ruthie, I'm just responsible for my part. If Rosemary became a comatose quadriplegic, I still have to love her. Some of you out there are married to functional comatose quadriplegics, and you're so mad at them. I'm not saying that you don't confront sin in your marriage. You must confront and deal with sin in your marriage. But many of us have married, my wife married somebody who had no clue about marriage, and she helped me go through the process of learning about marriage. Show your children, give them a leg up on marriage. Let them see marriage by the way you handle your role in your marriage.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. We've been going down this list of the 30 imperatives to parenting. Today, talking about number 26, letting your child see your marriage. And if you want to hear today's program again, any of this list of the 30 imperatives, you can find a bunch of them online at parenting.com. parentingonpurpose.org. In fact, if you would like some books and other resources to help you in your marriage or parenting journey, a lot of them are found online at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. The proceeds go to help the children's homes at the ministry. So you can get them there, support the ministry, even send a text if you'd like to support the ministry with a one-time $10 donation by simply sending two letters, SH, short for Sheridan House, and sending that to 41518. We hope you'll join us again next week as we finish out the list of the 30 imperatives to parenting here on Parenting on Purpose.